this morning and to worship our great God together. What a blessing it is that he gave us this day to be able to remember the wonderful things that this another day to give us a chance to remember the wonderful things that he has done for us, but also a day to just get together and worship him and remember the sacrifice of our Lord. Great successes. I guess usually one of the things that lead that I see is leading to great successes within this life, or at least what some would see as a great success, has a lot to do with devotion. How all in somebody is for something. I was thinking about, you know, usually the athletes that you see winning the Olympics are not just the athletes that train for the Olympics, but really they're the athletes that live for the Olympics. And so the question that I want to begin with this morning is, are we devoted? And we say, well, to what? And I think for us to understand what we are devoted to in our life, we have to ask the question, well, what are we successful at? But let me ask another question. What is it that we should be devoted to? Well, Jesus gives us his answer to that question in Matthew 22 and verse 35. We read that one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. So here we have Jesus' answer to that question. That is, we are supposed to be devoted to God. Now, I will say this, just because that is Jesus' answer and is the answer, the correct answer, it doesn't necessarily have to be your answer. You do not have to devote yourself to God. But the question that really is being posed here when he asks, what is the great commandment of the law, is what is it that is most pleasing to God? What does God desire most? And so if our desire this morning is to please God, if our desire is to please this God that has created us, if our desire is to please this God that has given his Son for us, if our desire is to please this God that is going to be the one to judge us in the end, then this is our answer. God wants devotion from us. He wants us to be all in for him. And so what is it that keeps us from doing that? Well, I think it's a lot of times being devoted to other things. You know, idolatry has always been a problem. Putting things above God, idolatry has always been a problem. And there's been a lot of lessons that have been done on all the various idols that we can have in our life, whether it be, you know, work or family or ourselves or, you know, whatever it is. But I think one of the big problems of today is not necessarily just one specific thing. It is just everything. And that we give our time to everything, doing everything, time to everything, filling our schedule with everything. You know, I said the way that we can find out what it is that we are devoted to is to look at what we're successful at. And I don't know about you, but I'm very successful at busying myself. I think we are very successful and very good at being busy in our lives. Filling our life and filling our life, doing more and more things, practices, appointments, overtime, you know, whatever it may be. And a lot of the things, you know, there's just some things that go with life. Life is busy in a lot of ways, and there's just things that go with it. But there's a lot of things, and it's different for each and every one of us, so we have to kind of look at our own lives and ask what it is for us, where we fill our lives with a lot of things that are not necessary. A lot of unnecessary things. And then we continue to add more and more things that are just unnecessary. And necessary being the key word. God desires our all to be for him. He desires us to be devoted to him. Jesus, in answering this question, what is the great commandment, is really for us giving the key of life. And that's important to us because as Christians, we get frustrated. We realize that maybe we're not being the people that we need to be, that we're not being the Christians that we need to be, and there may be many reasons for that, or different and various things for that, but I know for myself, it is because I excel, but maybe I excel more in busying myself or in being busy than I excel in being a servant of God. And I think a lot of that has to do with maybe I'm a little bit more devoted to one than I am to the other. Jesus gives an example of a servant that I want us to take a look at in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. This is a parable of Jesus, and Jesus says, Luke 10 and verse 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. And they stripped him, and they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him, and he bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. So here Jesus is using this as an example of what Jesus desires in a person and in a servant. And what we notice about this man is he stopped what he was doing. He was willing to stop what he was doing. As he is on this journey, and who knows what he was on this journey. I mean, he may have been on this journey to complete business. He may have had a lot of things to do that day. Or he was on this journey, maybe there's people that are waiting for him. You know, whatever it may be. Maybe he's just enjoying his time. But he stopped. He was willing to stop. And in fact, he even spent the night. He gave up a night. All right, now think about that and think about this. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. We have been created through Christ Jesus for good works. And I feel like a lot of these works are very similar to what we see here with this Samaritan. And we also see that God prepared these works, or has prepared these works beforehand. But the thing is, on our end, is that we don't know beforehand when these works are going to come up or when these works are going to show themselves. Very similar to the Samaritan. He had no idea that he was going to meet this man that was injured on the side of the road. We can't plan our day around these things. And so I think a really big thing to think about here is, to be God's people, to be his servants and be pleasing to him, our schedule has to be flexible. We have to be willing and able to do the things that give him glory in our life. Inflexibility is going to hinder us as Christians. And so, you know, whatever it is that is on our schedule, whatever it is that we're going through, it is not more important than God's work when it comes on the schedule. It's just not. And I feel like this section of scripture that we see here with the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, really helps us to see a little bit more what God's work is. So often, I guess, when I think about, you know, not being too busy for God, I end up talking about worship or reading our Bible or prayer or spreading the gospel. And that's all necessary things. God expects these things of us. He expects us to worship him. He expects us to seek him out in prayer. He expects us to read his word. We cannot live without it. He expects us to glorify him in the spreading of the gospel of his son. These are all standards to our life. These are going to be a part of each and every day. But also part of God's work is helping and serving and loving others. And when our schedule is just all busyness, and I'm talking to myself here, when my schedule is all busyness, and I think busyness, and I eat and I drink busyness, and I sleep busyness, then all I end up seeing is busyness, and I overlook a lot of things. Specifically, I overlook God's work that is laying down on the street in front of me, or whatever it may be. That's one of the reasons why the Sabbath was such a blessing. It was a moment to stop. Stop and stop thinking about busyness. And it was a blessing. The Sabbath was not just a burden that we are thankful that we don't do anymore. Now, obviously, we cannot be justified by it. It's not necessary in terms of, you know, the physical things as in salvation. We do have to have the Sabbath rest that comes through Christ. But the fact is, God does not make bad things. He does not have bad commandments. He does not have burdensome commandments. Now, some made it a burden, did make it burdensome. In fact, there's an instance where we see the Pharisees that are getting on to people just for eating food on the Sabbath. They got on to the disciples because they were eating food. Now, what they were doing, they were, you know, picking the grains off and eating them, picking them. And that wasn't breaking the Sabbath. Jesus points that out in the Matthew account, that they were innocent. He says, you have condemned the innocent. But we also see this in Mark 2 and verse 27. Jesus says this, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath was given to man, and Sabbath was given as a benefit to man, for man's rest. God does not give things in order to be burdens." And the same thing is true about our life. You know, and life does feel like such a burden when we're worn down all the time, or when we are just anxious all the time, when we're worried all the time, when we're going 100 miles an hour all the time. That makes life unfun. Life was not given to be a burden, and certainly not the life that is given to us through Jesus Christ. That has not been given to us to be a burden. Man was not made for work. Man was not made for busyness. Man was not made for our schedule. Man was not made for the Sabbath. And when we hear that, man was not made for the Sabbath, you know, I guess, do we ever stop and think, well, what is it that man was made for? Man was made for God. And service to God. So in that terms, we were made for work. Service to God through Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 16. "For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." All things were made for him. He is before all things. Man was made for God, which is another lesson that I feel like we can take from the Sabbath. You know, whenever the Sabbath came around, the Israelites had to stop. They had to stop. Exodus 20 and verse 9. "Six days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall do no work." You shall not do any work. And that includes, you know, whatever it is that they may be in the middle of at the time in that week. You know, even if they had an acre, they still had an acre that they had to plant, or an acre that they had to harvest, they had to stop. Or even if they had a project at their house that they were working on, they had to stop. And they had to stop for their health, we see, and for rest, we see in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 14. "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you." But also, they had to stop because God commanded them to stop. It was a reminder that it was God that was the ruler of their life. It was not that acre that needed to be planted that was ruler of their life. It certainly wasn't the project at their house that was ruler of their life. It certainly wasn't their schedule that was ruler of their life. And it's not for us either. We know this about God. Psalm 147 and verse 8. "God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains, he gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens which cry." We know this about God, and we know that acre can wait. Or we know this about God. Psalm 127 and verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." We know this, and so we know that that project can wait. None of these things are even close to as important as God is. Now, you know, by all of this, do I mean that we need to take a Sabbath every week or whatever it may be? It wouldn't hurt to get some rest within our lives, and not just to glorify or pamper ourselves, but to reset our focus on who is most important in our lives, and that is God. But ultimately, I think the point that I'm trying to make here is I need to prioritize what is important in life. It is God who is ruler over my life. It is God who is ruler over your life and not all the other things that are within our life. And this is what he says about service to him and service to his work through Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 31. "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." All these things added to you. When it is that I get things out of whack and I pursue work first, or, you know, when we pursue practices first or projects first, you know, what is it that is added to us in all of that? you know, I don't know. But I can tell you that for sure it feels like my sanity is being taken away by all these things instead of it adding anything to me. And I guess I think about that. I think about sanity taken away. And I wonder if Martha felt that way. We all know the account of Martha and Mary that we read in Luke chapter 10. That's where we're going to be next, in Luke chapter 10. And it's an account that's used a lot today. And I think, you know, a big reason why it's used a lot today is it just makes sense to us. I think Martha's busyness makes sense to us. I think Martha's response to all of this just makes sense to us. We read in Luke 10 and verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he, Jesus, entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. And she came up to him and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." And that sounds just like you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha is anxious and angry and worried and bothered and frustrated by so many things. And, you know, she kind of sees Mary as the problem. She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone?" Mary wasn't the problem. You know, she even shows some anger towards Jesus. "Lord, do you not care?" Jesus certainly wasn't the problem. You know, it's not even the things that Martha was doing that was necessarily the problem. It's just Martha had a problem. And I understand Martha. I have a problem. I get so anxious and I get so frustrated and I get so worried and bothered about so many things. And can they not see how busy I am? They, whoever they are not the problem. And really, and as I'm talking up here, it may seem like I'm saying our schedule is not the problem. I think it can be in a lot of ways, but ultimately it's not the schedule that's the problem. It's that I don't realize or don't focus or don't prioritize the necessary thing. And we can look at Martha and say, well, she was doing the necessary thing. She was trying to serve Christ. And the answer is yes, but she was not doing the necessary thing. Mary was, and she looks a whole lot different. Now, we don't know exactly how she looked, but it sounds like she looks a lot different than Martha. It sounds like she's a lot more at peace than Martha is. And there's a lot of ways in which I believe that one was doing the necessary thing and one was not. I think there's different ways of looking at it. I think they're all true. You know, first of all, the Lord was speaking. The word of Christ was coming out, and Martha was not taking the time to listen to him. That's very true. Martha was at this point very wrapped up in physical things, working at the physical things, chasing after the physical things. She was missing the spiritual. That's very true. Also, I think a way of looking at it is she saw the preparations for Christ as the necessary thing and not that Christ was the necessary. And what I don't mean by that, as I'm saying that, is that preparing for Christ is not important when it comes to the spiritual things. Christ tells us to be ready. Christ tells us to be prepared for him, to have our lamps ready. That's because Christ tells us that. That's why it's the necessary thing, because Christ is the necessary, and he tells us to do it. If he had instructed Martha that she had to have this meal ready for him and she had to do all of these things, then that certainly would have been necessary for Martha. But apparently he didn't. He came in and he spoke, and so Martha should have sat down and listened to what was necessary and looked for what was necessary. And, I think it's wonderful when we think about this that Jesus says there is one thing that is necessary. You know, doesn't it comfort us to know that everything is not necessary in our lives? It sure feels that way sometimes. It sure feels stressful because of it. But it's not true. And that's a whole lot less stressful to think about. There are a lot of things in our life that are just not necessary. They're not. We don't have to do them. Serving God is necessary. And through that, because God makes it necessary, serving others is necessary in our life. These are necessary things for us. And, you know, as I say that, there are also, you know, times where we can busy ourselves in service to others, where it's, you know, having meals with people or, you know, whatever it may be, where, you know, at the end of it, we still end up miserable or in a bad mood or, you know, not looking forward to it or whatever it may be. And I think it's still because we're forgetting about the necessary. Galatians 5 and verse 13, Paul says, "For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Through love serve one another. That's Christ's teaching. So that's a necessary thing for us. You know, inviting someone over to dinner and having a perfectly tasty meal that is presented in the very best perfect way at exactly the right time, you know what? That's not the necessary thing. Or having our house spotless, you know, before somebody comes over, that's not the necessary thing. Or if somebody is trying to talk to us about some struggles that they're having, spiritual struggles, whatever it may be, saying the exact right, perfect thing, although we should strive for that, it's not the necessary thing. Having a heart to love someone and to serve someone is the necessary thing. Having a heart for Christ and to be Christ-like is the necessary thing in Christ's people. That's what's necessary. And if we, you know, dread having people over, if we despise those opportunities, we're angry at people because they had the nerve to come over to our house and ruin our day. You know, if we feel that way, if I feel that way, I think that I have overlooked the necessary in a big way. We wear ourselves out over the unnecessary things, and that's not what Jesus came to give. Being worn out. Jesus says in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus came to give rest. Now, this does not mean rest from work. It certainly does not mean rest from Christ's work. That's what we were made for. He is offering us a yoke, not a neck pillow. We're still required to work for Him. But He does give us rest from a lot of things. He gives us rest from sin. He gives us rest from our conscience. He gives us rest from our having to justify ourselves to get into heaven and justify ourselves before God. He gives us rest in the form of peace in this world that lacks it. And He also, and this is very important for what we're talking about, He gives us rest from the things of this world being what is most important to us, because they're not anymore. And we know that, and we know better. We do not live for this world. We live for the next one. We live for God, who takes us to the next one. And that's not what we learn from the world that we live in. We learn that busyness is king. We learn that everything is most important. We learn that you have to devote yourself to all and to everything. There is nothing as important as learning from and submitting to Christ Jesus, the Lord above all. Nothing. And I have to say, that is a very light burden compared to what we get from the world. Extremely so. And I think you see that in this snapshot of Martha and Mary. One seems to be very at peace, one seems to be very anxious. And I don't know which one you look like in your life, but I know which one I look like in my life. And I'd be the first one to admit that I have a problem. I get very devoted to busyness in a lot of ways. Busyness is the first word on my lips. I think about busyness. I show busyness in my life. Isn't that what I'm supposed to be for God and for Christ? And so I, this morning, find myself in the same situation as Martha, where Jesus points out to her that she is not prioritizing the most important thing in her life. And maybe you might be in the same boat. I certainly am this morning. So the question is that I want to leave us with this morning. Now, right now, as we leave this place and go out into this life, what is it that we are going to be devoted to in our life? Because it needs to be God. What a wonderful thing it is for it to be God. He offers us rest. He offers us an easy yoke, so much different than what we see out in this world. And if we are ready to begin, take on His yoke, begin ready to learn from Him and turn ourselves over to Him, submit to Him, then do that this morning. It's time to come forward to be baptized in our Lord and Savior while we stand and as we sing.